Morning, everyone. The reading this morning is from the book of 1 Peter, and I'm going to be reading from chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. In my Bible, that's page 1220. So that's 1 Peter, chapter 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lovely. Thank you, Eileen. Right, well, if you could stay in your Bibles at that, I'll try to tell you all about it. The last time I spoke to you, I told you that we were in the last part of 1 Peter. I was lying because we're not. We're now in the last part of 1 Peter. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll do verses 1 to 7, and Andy will bring you the last verses on the 6th of February. As Eileen said, it's page 1220 of the Church Bibles, if you have one. Before I launch into this, let us pray. Dear Father God, thank you for bringing us here today to Cornerstone Church to worship and honour you and listen to your word. Please help us to understand your scriptures, Lord. Let my words be a true reflection of your word. Help us to use your word in all that we do. We love and worship you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right. Now, Peter is talking to the elders in this last chapter of 1 Peter. Elders were the church officers, providing supervision and protection and discipline, instruction and direction for all the believers. They were, as the name might suggest, people that were leading the church. The elders in Cornerstone Church, praise, as I'm sure you don't need to tell me to tell you, are Mike, Carl, Felix, and me. So you'd be quite rightly thinking that the four of us should be sitting up and taking notice of all that I'm going to say now. So we should. So should all of you too, as I will explain to you in a minute. Even if you don't have that place of elder in our church, what Peter is saying is equally relevant to all of us. And who knows, which of you at some time in the future may not become an elder at Cornerstone. Elder simply translates as older. Really in the title, I suppose, isn't it? Both Greeks and Jews gave positions of great honour to wise older men. And the Christian church continued this pattern of leadership. Being old doesn't automatically mean you're wise. Now, I've met many young people over the course of my career who were very wise beyond their years. And I've met some really old people who were pretty dopey. So there's no guarantee in age or youth being wise. Elders could be chosen at any age and can still be chosen at any age if they can do the job. Elders carry and do carry a great responsibility, and they're expected to be good examples in Peter's day and in nowadays as well. Peter was one of the 12 apostles. He was one of the three that saw Christ's glory at the Transfiguration. He was often the spokesman for the apostles. Peter witnessed Jesus' death, and he witnessed his resurrection. Peter preached at Pentecost, and Peter became a pillar of the Jerusalem church. Notwithstanding all of that, when he was writing to the elders, he identified himself as a fellow elder, not a superior. He was just one of them. He was another elder. And he asked them to be shepherds of God's flock. And that's exactly what Jesus told him to do back in John 21. As it says, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him this third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." That's what Jesus told him to do. And that's what he's telling the elders to do. And Peter, by identifying himself with the elders, is giving a powerful example of Christian leadership, showing what authority, that authority is based on service. It's not on power. It's nothing to do with power. We're here to serve. Mark tells us in chapter 10 of his gospel, 45 verses 42 to 5, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." We're here to serve. Peter describes several characteristics of good leaders in the church. He says they realize that they're caring for God's flock, not their own. They lead out of eagerness to serve, not out of obligation. They are concerned for what they can give, not for what they can get. They lead by example, not by force. All of us lead others in some way. Over the course of our lives, even if not now, we lead others. And in our church, it's not just the elders that are leading. We've got Sunday school leaders and helpers who, with God's help, will be starting their task in the not too distant future. We've got those that set up and pack away all the equipment every week. And we've got those that work it for our services. We've got those that welcome us every week and hand out all the service sheets and the Bibles. We've got those on the cleaning rota who help you to keep us safe all the time. And we've got those organising refreshments. And they'll be providing meals again in the not too distant future when we can start eating again. After our services, and that won't be a joyous time. We've got our treasurer, we've got all the people that look after the admin for our church, making sure that Cornerstone is running properly and we can keep on going. They're all serving us, but most of all, they're all serving Jesus, and that's what it's all about. Whatever our role, our leadership, whether it's elders, whether it's the trustees, whether it's the serving teams, or whether you're just worshipping as you're part of the church family, what we are doing should be in line with these characteristics that Peter sets out in our reading this morning. Not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The chief shepherd is Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day that is. It refers to his second coming, when he will judge the people and reward his faithful followers with eternal life. The crown metaphorically pictures the glory believers will receive that is eternal and unchanging. What better motivation for selfless service what better motivation for keeping the faith in the face of suffering and temptation? We've been hearing so much about suffering over the last few weeks from Peter. And it says that in verse 2. God wants you to be eager to serve. As you know, whatever you do, you can't earn your salvation. This is a gift from God, and it's without cost to you. However, if you follow Jesus, you will automatically want to do all of these things that we've been talking about. Knowing Jesus and that Jesus died for us makes us perfect when we stand before him at judgment time. We're perfect because of our eternal union with that infinitely perfect Christ. Jesus makes us perfect. When we become his children, we are declared not guilty and therefore righteous because of what Christ, God's beloved Son, has done for us. Perfection is absolute and unchangeable. It's this perfect relationship that guarantees that we will one day be completely perfect when we stand before Jesus. Verse 5 of our passage tells us, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud and shows favour to the humble. So both young and old can benefit from Peter's instructions. Pride often keeps older people from trying to understand young people. How often have I been guilty of that? And I hang my head in shame. I so often in my life have dismissed young people thinking they don't know what they're talking about. And so often they very, very do. Pride, however, also keeps young people from listening to those who are older. How many teenagers have you had discussions with who know it all and think you're an old fuddy-duddy? My three girls, when they were growing up, we had some very interesting discussions, which I'm really glad haven't been taped. My youngest daughter, Victoria, she's in her mid-40s now, and she's got four children who aren't teenagers anymore, but they've not long left their teenage years. They're all living at home still, and she's got a notice on her kitchen wall, and it says, "Teenagers, tired of being hassled by your parents, act now, move out, get a job, pay your own bills while you still know everything." And that might be a little bit harsh, but we've all got our faults, and we all got to recognise our faults, and we all got to recognise our prejudices. We've all got to live up together. Peter told both young and old to be whole, humble, and to serve each other, young and old. Young men should follow the leadership of older men, who should lead by example. You should respect those who are older than you, listen to those younger than you, and be humble enough to admit that you can learn from anyone, and you can. Verse 6 tells us, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. How often do we worry about our position, our status, where we live, what car we drive, as me, hoping to get a proper recognition for what we do, a pat on the back, a pay rise, a mention in the New Year's honours list. I'm sure we're all guilty of those from time to time. My old boss, Derek Tullett, died about a week or so ago. He was 87. I worked for him twice, totally 25 years altogether. Now, I love that man. He was an innovator in the city. He created a world-famous, world-leading money-broking company, which still bears his name and is still world-famous and world-leading. In doing so, he became a multimillionaire. He gave enormous amounts of money to charity, and he worked for different charities all of his life. He was humble, but he also worked tirelessly all his life to try to become the Lord Mayor of London. He so wanted that title. He never managed it. He never became Lord Mayor. It always struck me that part of him could be so very, very humble, and equally part of him was so very proud. He wanted recognition, especially that part of him that wanted to ride in a golden coach and wear ermine. I'm not judging him, we're all the same. And I'm pretty sure we all have the sort of yearnings and recognitions in some way or another. I certainly do. But I also know he had a faith. And so I pray that he's with Jesus now, notwithstanding all of those yearnings. He stood before Jesus, and Jesus made him pure. However, what Peter advises us to remember is that God's recognition counts for far more than human praise. We don't need those golden coaches and that ermine. All we need is God. God's recognition is all that matters. That's what I think. I'm sure you do too. God is able and willing to bless us according to his timing. Humbly obey God, regardless of present circumstances. And in his good time, either in this life or in the next, God will honour you. You love God. God is definitely going to honour you in the next life. He might do it now. Doesn't matter, because next life, you've got eternity. God's recognition is the only recognition worth striving for. I'm reaching the end of my talk now. We're up to verse 7, and it says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Carrying your worries, your stresses, and daily struggles by yourself shows that you cannot be trusted, that you've not trusted God fully with your way of life. You're not giving it to God. It takes humility, however, to recognize that God cares, to admit your need, and to let others in God's family to help you. I'm the worst person to talk about this, preach about this, because all of my life, I've found it incredibly difficult, almost impossible, to ask for help. I've also been a worry guts all my life. I worry about all sorts of things, especially my kids, Jilly. But you've got to give it to God. I ask for help from God all of the time, but I don't ask for help from other people. I've always thought I can do this myself. Most of the time I have. I don't need to ask for help, even when I needed it. But I didn't ask. I'm getting better at this as I get older. It's not because I'm getting humble, it's because I'm getting old. And if I'm brutally honest, it's because I find the things that I used to do so easily when I was younger, I find really difficult to do today. Even getting up down on the floor is difficult. Getting back up again is terribly difficult. Though it's because I'm getting older. I really like to think it's because I'm getting humble. Unfortunately, I'm still not very humble. Do we sometimes think that God would not help us if our struggles are caused by our own sin and foolishness? That's not true either. God wants to help us. God helps us no matter what we are, as long as we love him. When we sin, we say sorry. We know we're going to do it again. We're human. And God knows that, but he still loves us. Say sorry for your sins. Ask forgiveness and ask for his help. He wants to forgive you. He wants to help you. I've got some Bible passages before we go which tell you this. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7 tells you, do not be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 27 say, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you eat or what you drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of your life? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of your life? Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble. Finally, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Give all your worries to Jesus. He will take them and he will carry you. Jesus will carry you. And I've said, recited this to you before, but I'm going to do it again because I love this poem. It's Footprints. If I can get to the end of it. One night I dreamt a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord across the dark sky, flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand. When I needed you most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you, never ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Makes me cry what Jesus could do that for us. Jesus carries us. When we turn to God in repentance, he will bear the weight of our worries, concerns and struggles. Letting God have your anxieties calls for you to take action. Not wait passively and hope something will turn up. Give it to the Lord. Don't submit to circumstances, but submit to the Lord. He controls circumstances. The passage is about church leaders serving the church family, but mostly serving God. It's also about the service of everyone who is a Christian. We should be serving God by telling everyone about him, spreading his gospel, making sure as many people as possible have the means to find eternal life. Go out and spread the word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here today. Please, dear Lord, help all elders in their role. Help them shepherd your flock. Likewise, dear Lord, help us all to serve you in whatever way you want us to. Help us in all our tasks. Let all we do show that we love and honour you. Let what we do encourage those who do not yet know you to find you and keep you in their hearts. Thank you, dear Lord. We love and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.